unveiling sin.
See, men are confused about sin. In fact, the sinner almost can identify sin more than the believer today. Today, even believers don't know what sin is. So by the time you tell them the depth of salvation, as Paul encapsulated it in his epistles, same with Peter, and Jesus himself being the cornerstone, chief cornerstone, men are wondering, why would you say this? And they readily can see certain things. So they can't exactly comprehend where the salvation comes in. Having taken us through months and months of a series on salvation, I said this yesterday, and I say it again, that even in the word church, what we call a word church, a misnomer really, many don't even understand the truth of God's word well. They know the phrases. They know the cliches. But to exactly come to that place and say, well, this is the truth of God's word in clear explanation. And it can come from different angles to bring forth this truth. Many can be a bit confused. I read someone coming against tithe. That's the 10%. And of course, people just attack the thing. I didn't even read anybody's comment. I mean, I think by the time I came on, it was about 35 comments from different theologians, from different theological seminaries across the globe. You know, even those who have never read the Bible for the first time will just go on the internet and Google tithe. And they come up with any kind of thoughts. And they'll paste it, you know, there. So I just said a few things, you know. And the guy now replied and said, this is probably the most concise thing I've ever seen. Very balanced, and he learned quite a number of things, you know. That after 35 comments from different pastors and all that. And the truth of the matter is that even if you come to the word mix like this, why do you pay tithe or pay tithe or your tax or tithe? It's not under the law. And you wonder, like I was saying last night, that, you know, some folks just think that Jesus delivered from the law so that we can sing. That's where it appears from. Jesus has delivered us from the commandments so that we can break all the Ten Commandments. That's how it appears to many, that we can break the Ten Commandments now that we are born again or something. Maybe the man is not even saved. That's what he thought. So, the need for prayer, and that's the truth. 2 years of being around the world church is not the span of the degree program. Where you say, I graduated 2 years ago, I've been pastoring since community. I'll tell you, 2 years is not even pre-degree. 2 years in this church is to be in the crèche. Amen. Spiritual crèche. Trying to learn how to watch CBBs, Dora, as the case may be. A man must study with the truth long enough, or that truth goes beyond your preaching mantra. It's not a conviction you bear till eternity. It's not good enough to know the cliché. Or else tomorrow, like some have done, you have said this truth of God, but preach it, even see the results of people's lives, and whatever reasons you are not here again, and you are somewhere else believing something different, a set of new things that contradict you, because you never, ever fully appreciated the truth of God's word. You can preach it, you can teach it, you can even hack people who teach things contrary. It's not a proof that in your heart you are fully established in God's word. Are you there? I'm going to open many scriptures, so you must be ready. Look at sin. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. The Bible describes verse 5. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, this is not my text, I told you these things. Now you know what withholdeth that it might be revealed. It was referring to the Antichrist, the one we call the Antichrist. That it might be revealed, you know, in his time. 4 verse 7. The mystery of iniquity. The hidden truth of iniquity, that word is lawlessness, doth already work. Only he who now lets will let, until he be taken out of the way. What he will now let is he who restrains. Will restrain until he be taken out of the way. That word is where we get the word rapture. Taken out of the way there is where you have to depart. Okay? Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of righteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of truth, that they might be saved. So, he's actually talking about those who refuse to receive the gospel. Alright, but then watch this. He said, the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now let will let until he be taken away. So there's actually a mystery of iniquity, of lawlessness against God, that there's a being who has not let out that mystery. And that's why I said that this will help you understand certain things about so great salvation. Okay? So, he that let out. Of course, this describes the state before the rapture. You see that the Bible says that before the coming of the Lord, there shall be a falling away. Very, very bad translation. There shall be a taking away. Because it falls in line with this. There shall be a taking out of the way. It's not that before the rapture, people will just be bastarding all over the place. No. There's no truth in God's word like that. In fact, there's anything Jesus said about the gospel in Matthew 24, that it shall be preached in all the nations and then the end will come. I mean, basic. So you should not look at deceitful signs and all that. So, because of the mystery of iniquity. But you see, just like scriptures, you see, just like the Bible, you know, there's no subject matter where you must depart from Bible interpretation. There is a Bible interpretation of all things. You mustn't depart from it. A faulty premise where you can, you know, where you can look at issues is to look at experiences. If you look at just, for instance, and you go into people's lives and all that, you will get confused in the middle. Like I did say, also on Sunday, you know, we're taking a series in church on Sunday. I believe everybody here will need it. Reality of Christianity. Amen. We've looked at the reality of Christianity. Now, the truth of the matter is that, you see, you look at Genesis and Abraham and this and that, you know, went to Moriah and told Isaac, God told him, take your son. And God emphasizes your only son. Now, you wonder, why would God say your only son right there when there was an Ishmael? I mean, all children come from God, you will say. And here your only son. And take him to the sacrifice, to sacrifice him unto me. And Abraham actually went, didn't tell his wife, that's wisdom, and went with his servants. And when they got there, God said, okay, said, wait behind at the foot of the mountain. That man is very, very, I think, history said it takes 3 days to climb. So, he went up there. But then we got there the third day, 3 days of stretching, they got there, and they said, Lord, Father, I can see the knife, I can see where is the lamb for sacrifice. And he said, you know, that God will provide for himself the lamb. And he actually put him on the stake and tied him. You understand? And at that point, we just saw a goat in a thicket and all that. And God said, stop. Now I can know that you wonder. So God tested him. You won't get it until you come into the epistles to understand that really he received him back in a figure in faith. That for Abraham. Abraham knew was he going to kill Isaac. Abraham knew that, you know, what Abraham did was to God physically led Abraham to see what Jesus was going to do. Okay? So what we saw in that scenario was like a carnal demonstration of the crucifixion of Jesus. But you can't understand that because of the epistles. Then you see that really, that why did he call Isaac his only son? Why? Because Isaac is the son of the Spirit. So that's the language of faith. His only son. The son that he said he will have before Ishmael. The promise came before the law. The promise came before the law. The Spirit first and then the... So it starts first with the promise of God. The new covenant before the old. So it's just that same way of looking at language. But you say, Ishmael came first, just like the law came first. So the proper interpretation of scripture is to come to the same point. To the same point of interpreting things. Not from an experiential point of view, but to actually look at it from God. And you see, don't be emotional about it. Don't be sentimental. Don't try and think, but this case, that case, the case is in Christ. Hallelujah. First Corinthians 2. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 2. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, verse 14. For their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Okay? Now verse 15. But he that is spiritual judges all things. But he himself is just no man. Now, the carnal man will begin to say, he that is spiritual, he now begins to look at individuals that are spiritual. No. He that is spiritual there refers to one person. Okay? He himself is judged of no man. This person is judged of no man. Okay? And it says, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? That is, you cannot comprehend God. That's what he's saying there. You can't comprehend God. You can't sit down and comprehend God with the natural man. He says, but we have the mind of Christ. What do you mean by the mind of Christ? We have the understanding of Christ. So the understanding of God is found where? In Christ. Jesus said that much. Luke 24, look at it. Don't forget this, guys. They were confused about Jesus and what had happened to him and all that. And then in verse 25, he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Are you there? Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Now, watch this very carefully. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and entered his glory? So, he actually was referring to Christ. Christ is a person known in the scriptures. So, he said in 27, I'm beginning at Moses and all the prophets, that the entire Old Testament, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures, what? The things. So many things. Concerning himself. So he said the things. So it wasn't one thing. The things. Events. Sequence of things concerning himself. Now, go down to 24, verse 44. He said unto them, these are the words which I spoke unto you while I was yet with you, that all things were fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms. About what? Huh? Concerning me. This is what I was saying, you know, my post on Facebook, that look at Jesus. Jesus sat down and he taught from the whole Bible. So if you're a preacher, you must know the whole Bible. You see today we have a blessing Bible, women Bible. Blessing, you have Islamic Bible. Well, there's only one Bible, it's a Christ Bible. Hallelujah. A Christocentric material. That's what the Bible is all about. Now, he says, concerning me, okay? He says, then opened he. That is, look at this. Please look up. After pointing the scriptures to himself, what did he achieve? He opened their understanding. That they may understand the scriptures. Look at that. The minute he points to himself, they understood the scriptures. Are you following this? You can only understand scriptures by looking at Jesus. You will be able to put the events together and it will now make sense. Look at John 5. So the minute he pointed to himself, that is, initially they will talk about Moses, they talk about Abraham, but the minute they talked about him, everything made spiritual sense and natural sense later. John 5, 39. There's something, you know, funny about this verse. You know, there was one day, there was this church like that. This is the scripture they use for their Bible study. It says, search the scriptures. They call it search the scriptures. And this is where they got it from. And I now told one of them who were leading, I said, look, you guys have gotten something wrong. This scripture you are using is, maybe that's why you have not come in contact with the word. You guys, why? I said, because the original says that you search the scriptures. For in them you think. That is, that searching was not necessary. Are you following this? For in them you think you will have eternal life. Because the scriptures do not provide life of its own. You see that some people use the scriptures. He's that you use the scriptures for anything in your life. But they are they which testify of me. They will not come to me, and you will not come to me that you might have life. So, life is not in the scriptures. Life is in a person. That life is the light of men. Are you there? Is that light in Christ that points to us? That life in Christ that points the light for us in the whole scriptures. So as believers, any subject matter we're going to look at, 2 Timothy 3 and 16 says, whole scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It's from the scriptures that, you know, it's very easy to look up, guys. You know, you can also be profitable for teaching. You know, naturally, that is passing. Now, I'm teaching, of course, want to teach, we'll quote the Bible, and then we'll start with the Bible, and we'll say, according to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. You know, you can say that. According to the book of Luke, chapter 27, verse 28. And, you know, you can begin to say that. But now, the second thing is for reproof. The word reproof there is evidence. That's where you get maybe testimony. There is again, if you will give a proof, where should you go to? The Bible. Now that you now say that, that is why reverence so and so. Say, which scripture is reverence and so? He said, it's not his scripture, it's only another Bible. You know, the scriptures are again, this, that's where you get the proof. Okay? Again, you now say, that's why I will tell you. This is just, I'll tell you the truth. You are telling the truth. You say, four ways, like maybe you start on success. You say, or something else. Just a doctrine like that. Maybe marriage. Say, you know, marriage, that means marriage, good to marry. And your voice, that's half doctrine. You know? I now say, for proof, where is the proof of marriage? Look at the life of Matthias. Matthias lived down my road. He himself and his wife, they have never argued for 20 years. No, go back to scripture. That's where you get the proof. Amen. Now you want to correct. You want to say, therefore I'll tell you, you better be careful. In the morning, kneel down and get your husband. At night, kneel down and get your husband. Cook his most delicious meal. Do this one, this one. The scripture is also profitable for correction. Amen. You say, okay, you know what? What I'll tell you is this. You now go back. You start with the scriptures with doctrine. You go to Brother Matthias' life for proof. You go to your common sense for correction. Then you read psychology for instruction. You have not taught the word. Hallelujah. The scriptures, the beginning, the scriptures, the last. So, just like the subject of sin, if we're going to correct, we stick to where? The scriptures. If we're going to look for proof, we stick to what? The scriptures. If we're going to instruct you, we stick to what? The scriptures. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy 5:21. So, having seen that Christ is the explanation of all things, I know some of you have just called the cliche. Don't be used to cliches. He's the son of all things. Hallelujah. Just go and face the son of all things. All things are in him. In him are all things. For him are all things. Better don't confuse yourself. Just keep coming. Amen. you know what matter is that I expect some people to just be quiet for some time. Keep coming. Amen. Keep coming. Come for 10 years. Or say 15. Pastor, I'm married now. I have children. And so all I have, you have left God. You have eaten the tree of good and evil. 15 years. You know, some people don't see that. They don't see their whole life as a Christian life. That's why they believe that what we are doing today is just for this time. They say, so we'll do this forever. Yeah? Amen. They are praying. Praise God. We are going for the long haul. Amen. If you are here and you have other motives, you will last. You won't last. Anything will take you away. Blog, Gaucho, something will take you away. Something will take you away. Because you don't believe the word. You have to believe it. You have to believe it. Praise God. Let's go back to doctrine. Talk about that 31. For he had made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. This is serious. It says, he made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness. Now you see the word to be, was actually put there by the translator because they were scared of the import of this statement. They said, to be, you know, to be, like, you know, when you act a drama and you say, you know, when we were younger, we used to do drama, you know, and you do rapture. Now, every time I did the rapture, except once, I always miss the rapture. Maybe that's going to be true. I don't know. I believe in Christ. Yeah? I don't go bad. Now, whenever you finish that drama, just let us pray that what we acted in that place will not happen to us. That means we believe that it was not really you. You get my point? But it's about actual drama. What you can't really see, you can't do it in acting. There's a potential somewhere. So you say, to be seen. That is, Jesus just acted like, because they were scared. In fact, I've heard teachers try to explain it that somebody said, no, he made him to be sin offering. He's sin offering. Okay. And the same word was used. He made him a sin offering for us. Who knew no sin offering? Isn't that stupid? You know, then we are not saved. He made him to be sin. He made him sin for us. Who knew no sin? What knew there is to experience no sin. That is, he has no acquaintance with it. So it's not possible for him not to have acquaintance with sin offering. He did have acquaintance with sin offering because he knew the scriptures. Are you there? Okay. So he didn't have an acquaintance with sin. There was no fellowship he had with sin. Who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Look at 19. 19 is where you get the rider. He says, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Now, when we say God was in Christ, people believe that what he's saying here, there are two ways you can look at it. You can say God was in Christ as Christ the man, and then he was carrying the world himself. But if you look at what he was saying here, he's saying that the mind of God was in what Christ did. You get my point? Reconciling the world to himself. Because that reconciliation is when Christ became sin. And God did not become sin. Are you following that? God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. This is the charter, I call it the charter of the gospel. Don't miss World Changers Conference. Amen. The charter of the, this is, when you say the charter of, this, that is, this is, you know, I don't know how they call it, the U.S. Bill of Rights. Is it Bill of Rights? What, the Magna Carta of the British Constitution. Now this is the charter. This is the reason why they are together. This is why it is called the gospel. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, and not imputing their treasures again unto him, and has committed unto us the ministry of reconciliation, the word of reconciliation. Why? For he had made him sin. Who knew no sin? That we should be made, that is the, this is the gospel of Jesus. Now, so Jesus was made what? Huh? Beautiful. So Jesus was made sin. So our proper understanding of sin, just like we are saying, will be seen excellently by looking at Jesus. How was Jesus made sin? If you can't get to that, you will never comprehend the revelation of the mystery of sin. Now let's look at other portions of scriptures. John 1, the next day, John saw Jesus coming unto him and said, behold the Lamb of God. You know, which takes away the sin of the world. Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. So when you see the, and a singular word, is a particular thing it's referring to. So it says, Jesus is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the whole world. 1 John 2 and 2. My little children, this is the right of you that you sin not. Okay? That one is the minor sin. But if any man sin, okay, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins. not only ours, for ours. Now observe something close here. Again, I say that the translators didn't do a good job here. He's writing to the church and he says, he is the propitiation for our sins. This will come in later, maybe next week, because we're going to probably expatiate more. For our sins. He's writing to the church. He says, it is the propitiation for our sins. Not for ours only. So he takes it out of the church, right? Okay? But also, notice, the word the sins of the whole world is in italics. It is a propitiation for the whole world. There is a distinction there. Are you there? Are you following this? Aha. Now, look at 1 Peter 2. 24. Talking about Jesus, who his own self bore our sins in his own body. I mean, this is Peter talking, so he's not trying to be a big G. Say our. In his own body, on the tree, that we being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes, or stripe, whatever, we are healed. Now, so, we can confidently say that Jesus can readily explain what sin or sins are to us. Let me see if you understand that. Because the scriptures eventually did what? They brought sin to Jesus. I don't think you're getting it. Are you following this? Eventually, the scriptures now bring sin to Jesus. And I think it's not just for us to see for salvation point. Jesus died for my sins. It will also know what sin is. Because we can really look at Jesus and explain sin. And don't forget in our study, we have seen that there is sin and there is sins. Are you there now? What scares men the most, really, in the world is sin. Why? Because I wrote this down. It is actually a sinner consciousness, not a sin problem. When you are born again, the issue with you is not a sin problem. It's a sinner problem. There's a sinner consciousness. Universal man believes there is a being that doesn't like him. Universal man has also come to a point of philosophy that they believe that that being has determined his choices, so he's helpless. Universal man has also come to a point that, look, there is a penalty system that exists in, if people come up with karma. In fact, today, even in church, people teach karma with scriptures. Ah, you say, that guy, this happened to him. This happened because of this. And, you know, he has come to have a sinner consciousness. So, these things can easily be solved. Because when you hear the mystery of iniquity, he's not referring to the church, because he said that it already worked. But there's he talking about the church that restrains. That is, the church is not bound with a confusion towards that mystery. Because in Christ Jesus, things are explained. Jesus said that unto you, it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Unto you. So you know. Say, I know. Okay. Now, the first knowledge, I think I taught that in 2008. The first knowledge you have is that knowledge that is embedded in your spirit because you are born of God. Now the second knowledge of being conscious of it is where we are now teaching you. You are now conscious of that which you already know within. Lord, you already know within. This truth of God's word. We have an unction from the Holy One, 1 John 2:20, and we know all things. 27 now says, the anointing of him abides in us and teaches us of all truth, and there is no lie. You don't need any man again to teach you. He's not talking about a born-again man. He's talking about, from a natural point of view, that for that same anointing abides in you and is there forever. So let us go to the entire Bible. Don't forget again that we have help. Where do we have help from? Christ Jesus. Okay? We have help. So, we'll go to the Bible, the beginning. Ezekiel 28. I'm going to open to a couple of scriptures. Ezekiel 28. Now, I've explained this before, I think it was so good, I mentioned that there's a confusion here, literally, that was he talking about Satan? You know. Now, look at this. Son of man, take up lamentation for the king of Tyros, say unto verse 12, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the wisdom, full of wisdom, sealest up the sum, full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the thaddeus, the topaz, and diamonds, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, emerald and the carbuncle, the gold, the workmanship for the tablets, and all their pipes were prepared in thee the day that was created. Okay, so this being was created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee, thou was upon the holy mount of God, says, thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire, thou was perfect in thy ways from the day thou was created till iniquity was found in thee. And there is no way, listen, that this can refer to a human being, because you can't say iniquity was found in a human being at a point, because that would take away the precedence of scripture that all men, as we're going to see later, were born in sin. Are you following that? So apparently this is talking about a being God created, and of course when you read the Old Testament like that, it's like there'll be a reference to a human king, a human person, but you now see the manifestation of Satan in that person. So we see the king of Tyros having manifestation of Satan, and the prophet referred directly to that Satan that was the influence of the attitude or the behavioral pattern of that king. So, because by trying to see when you talk about iniquity was found in him and all that, now the question will now be, at what point was iniquity found in Satan? Isaiah 14. I think I explained this so good, so I'll be sure you can lay your hands on that. One of the last teachings. Isaiah 14, 12. How has thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? Very, very bad translation. Son of the morning, thou art cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations. Okay? Are you there? Which did weaken the nations. For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend unto heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Now, you know that. Look at what he said. Historical Christianity at times believed that this was an incident in heaven, that Satan was there. They were having fellowship and was doing praise worship. One day, was just thinking, what's the big deal? Then you overthrow God and all that. We started out that it's not possible. He couldn't have crossed his mind. Okay? Now, notice what he said. I will ascend unto where? Unto heaven. So this incident was not on in heaven. Everybody, you are getting this. So this had to be an incident that was not in heaven. Okay? And never think it was trying to overthrow God. When he said, I will be like the Most High. He didn't say, I will be the Most High. He didn't say that. Now, we have every reason to believe that this is referring to Satan. And even if, really, you choose not to agree this is Satan, we have plethora of scriptures that will help you still with this subject. But what we are even going to is the fact that Ezekiel 28 talks about the fact that iniquity was found in him. Okay? And here again, we see that this was the son of the morning, that he was perfect in his creation, but now he was cut down to the ground at a point because of certain actions that he took or certain thoughts that came upon his soul. Now, look at John 8. So now when we go like this, is to expand your thoughts, okay, through the scriptures. John 8, verse 44. You are of your father. What did they do? Verse 39. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. And you know the works of Abraham now. But now you seek to kill me, a man that I told you the truth. For which I've heard of God, this did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. He said, we've been upon a fornication. We have one father, even God. Verse 42. If God were your father, you would love me. For I proceed forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Right? You are of your father, the devil. I want you to observe that. And the lusts, okay, the desires of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. That's Genesis. And abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. The work of Abraham was to believe God. He says, you don't believe God because you are of your father, the devil. And he said clearly that from the beginning, he abode not in the truth. Are you there? Now, I will take your mind somewhere. 1 John 3. So look at what he called. He called the devil. He called him, he didn't abide in the truth. He called him a liar, right? He called him a murderer. Now, why did he call him a liar? Because he abode not in the truth. Why? He did not believe in the truth. I want you to observe something here. Look up. If you lose this one, I can't help you. He said, he was a murderer from where? At what point didn't he abide in the truth? From the beginning. Are you following this? And the loss of your father you will do. He said, if you are Abraham's children, you will believe. You now wonder. This many people believe that there was a beginning somewhere where he didn't abide in the truth. So, what was he murdering? Who was he murdering? Maybe some spiritual butterflies in heaven. No? 1 John 3. You know, John wrote that account. John now came to explain to you. Verse 4. Whosoever commits sin transgresses also the law. For sin is a transgression of the law. We're going to see all this as we proceed. For you know that it was manifested to do what? For in him is what? In him is no sin. So he took away our sins. He took away our sins. Don't slip into works from this teaching. I mean, from this precedent. So who took away our sin? Jesus. And in him there is no sin. Whosoever abides in him sinneth not. Why doesn't the man sin? Because he is in him. Whoever sins has not seen him, neither known him. So the reason why the man is sinning is because he has not known him, he has not seen him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, okay? Even as he is righteous. Watch that. As who is righteous? Jesus is righteous. Are you there? So what is he teaching here? It is identification. Look at verse 8. He that commits sin is of who? For the devil sinneth from where? When you say the beginning in the Bible, what are you referring to? Genesis. Let me say, I'm following this. Are you getting this? For the devil sinneth from the beginning. Okay? For this purpose, the Son of God was made manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. Why? Why? Whose seed? The seed of God remains in him. He cannot sin because he is born of God. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. What is that manifestation? The new birth. The new birth separates the children of God and the children of the devil. Are you following this? Good. And the children of the devil, whosoever does not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loves not his brother. So he says neither. Now, let's take verse 11 together. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that, look at 12, not as Cain, who was of who, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew his brother? Because his works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Without much ado, what were the works of his brother? Faith in God. Are you following this? Faith in the word. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we are passed from death to life. Follow this rule. Because we love the brethren. He that loves not his brother abides in death. Let's take 15 together, everybody. Want to go? Whosoever hates his brother is a murderer. And are you following this now? So, what was Jesus referring to in John 8:44? You cannot trace Satan's sin outside man. He was a murderer from the beginning, referred straight to Cain and Abel. That was the first manifestation of sin on earth. Hatred. Not murdering, no. Not murdering, not murder. Are you following this? It is the hatred. And that hatred is really hatred of the truth. Are you following this? Not to believe in the truth. And the first hatred for the truth was seen where? In Adam. You are seeing from what John said here. That Abel, Cain hated Abel. Why? Because of truth. Okay? Truth is God's word. Don't say truth as, I'm going somewhere. Is it black? Is it white? Truth is God's word. Truth is in a person. Okay? Now, the manifestation of sin on the earth was first seen in Cain. That's why I said Cain was of the wicked one. Do you know that in Genesis 4, you are not likely to see the devil there? Where was the devil? Even in Genesis 3, it's because we always blame the devil for everything. You are not likely to see the devil. You only see serpents. Because it was a material for carnal people. It's from continual insight in God's word that we point straight to the devil. Are you there now? So Jesus said that. They noticed what Jesus said about those Jews. He said they hated him. Right? And that hatred led to what? Murder. Are you following what I'm saying? And the hatred was not the person, it was the truth. The word. Are you following this? Come on, are you following this? You know he said earlier, he said truth. He said he did not abide in the truth. What truth? He said it, he said you will know the truth will set you free. John 8:32. In 36, he said, if the Son, shall set you free. Make you, you shall be free indeed. So the truth is who? I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. So the hatred of the not abiding in the truth that we see in Satan referred to Jesus Christ. The fact that we're going to see Adam did not abide in Christ. How many of you know that Abel abode in Christ? Hebrews 11. Can you see something here at all? You cannot talk about Satan's iniquity outside man. Because angels are an earthly manifestation. They are heavenly beings, but with an earthly manifestation. Hebrews 1. Is somebody following this? Okay. Hebrews 1, when it brings again, sorry, then again it brings, verse 6, the first begotten into the world, talking about Jesus, he saith, let all the angels worship him. And of the angels he said, who makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire? So the angels were made, they were created. In verse 13, to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on the right hand, on my right hand, until I make your enemies thy footstool. Are they not all what? Sent forth to do what? So they are sent forth to minister for them who will inherit salvation, man. So angels are earthly manifestations. You cannot talk about Satan's iniquity without referring to man. Why? Because man was made in the image of who? God. When we say God, we're referring to Christ Jesus. Adam was referred to as the figure of him that was to come. That's why I said we are taking this from so great salvation. We have already concluded that so great salvation. That the real issue was man was Jesus. We do not see everything put under man. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 2 to 9, we see Jesus. That's the thought of God. That's the plan of God. In the beginning was the Word was God, the Word was God. The same was made with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was anything made that was made. Hallelujah. Okay. So, when you look at Genesis words now, you come straight, in the beginning, you go back to Genesis 3, and you see the truth in how Satan actually deceived Eve. Right? And then, unlike Eve, so deception already shows you that there was a truth. There was a lie. Are you there? Then, unlike Eve, Adam abode in the lie. He took solace in the lie. He was not deceived. He disobeyed. Now, that disobedience is hatred. Are you there? Hatred to the truth of God's word. To be deceived is not hatred. It's not disobedience. It's hatred. Now, that lack of hatred is what, that hatred is what made Adam a sinner. By God's propitiation through the blood, through the promise of Jesus, where a man can now bring a blood offering as a type and a figure of what Christ would do, and a demonstration of his own faith, which Abel did, we have seen Abel as righteous. Cain, despising that offering, we have seen him as of the wicked one. That manifestation of murder did not come before his hatred for the truth. Are you getting this? Something came before the other. He now says that today we love brethren because we have passed from death to life. Are you getting this? So there is what led to what? Why is Satan called a murderer from the beginning? Because he abode not in the truth. When a man doesn't abide in the truth, he will abide in hatred for the truth. And it will produce murder. Are you getting this at all? So Satan's hatred was for man. Are you getting this at all? Because it is in man that the thoughts of God are demonstrated. It is in man that the thoughts of God are known. You can't know God outside God in man. You can't know God outside God's relationship with man. Look at this Bible is full of what? God's relationship with man. So man is the issue. What is man that I am mindful of him? Man is found in Jesus. Let me start by getting this. Are you following this? Go to Romans 5. Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world. If I were to have the translation, I would say, sin began in the world. So sin has a beginning. Are you there? Sin has what? As by one man, sin began in the world. It entered. And death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So, take note of three things. Sin came by one man. It entered into the world. It now, and death came by sin, and death passed upon all, for that all have sinned. Now look up. Let me give you this before we go there. So death is the mystery of sin. Death is what hid sin. You won't see it. Death used sin. Sorry, sin now used death to reign. It was very easy for everybody to see death from Adam to Moses. But you cannot discover sin from Adam to Moses. But you can see death. At least, by the first time you see that Adam died, you will see death. Physical death now. So sin hid in death. So he said, it passed upon all, for all have sinned. For that all have sinned. Very, very bad translation. When he says it passed upon all, that for that, in the original, says, in whom all have sinned. So it is in who that all have sinned? In Adam. In whom all have sinned. For unto the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed, verse 13, when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. You know, if you read the Bible, you see that easily. Death reigned from Adam to Moses. Even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression. For he is what? Huh? The figure of him that is to come, a type that was to come. So, sin came through Adam. So how? Genesis chapter 2. So don't go far. Verse 16. The Lord God commanded. So let's stay from verse 9. Out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight, good for food. The tree of life also, in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now, do you know that if you really, really think that trees were made and all that, and out of all the trees, we now had the tree of knowledge, that is, maybe towards the right, knowledge of good and evil, and left, the tree of life, the mango, pawpaw, and all that. Notice it again. It says, out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. Then, Are you following this? Okay. The tree of life also. Are you there? In the midst of the garden. And the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now, this does not follow the description earlier in verse 9. This is spiritual. Because expressly told them in verse 16, he commanded them, eat of every tree of the garden, thou mayest freely eat. But of the knowledge tree of good and evil, thou shalt not eat. For in the day that thou shalt eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, look at this. That means there were two opposites. Life and death. So, what was Adam's sin? Adam's sin can easily be seen in the fact that he refused life. That's the sin. He refused life. Now, when you say he refused life, what are you referring to? John 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Now, when we say the same was in the beginning with God, church, what are we referring to? Genesis. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. Now, look at 4. Let's take it together. Want to go? In Him was life. So can you locate Jesus in Eden? Life. That life is the light of men. The light that shineth in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. Genesis 1, 2 and 3. So, we know what happened from this point. When Adam refused this life, darkness reigned in the earth until John came to bear witness of that light. Okay? Verse 10. He was in the world. So that light is a person. Don't forget, we started with life. Life, light, the Word. Okay? God, the Word, the life, then the light. Okay? Which life every man that comes to the world, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. The world was made by him. The very first thing we heard in Genesis was light be, right? Okay? Which referred to Jesus in the earth. Light be. Okay? He came unto his own, and his own received him not. So that life is in a person. So what happened in Genesis 2 was the truth, the person of Jesus was not received. It's not about eating something or not eating something. The person of Jesus was not received. Now, when you say the person of Jesus, let me stir up your pure minds again and see that Adam was created in whose image? So what was rejected? The image of God. Christ Jesus. Now, so he is the life. He is the light. He is the Word of all men. In Genesis 4, verse 7. Okay, let's start from verse 2. She bore again his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep. Cain was a tiller of the ground. Press of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Okay? And Abel,
he also brought of the firstlings of his flock the part thereof. And the Lord had respect, okay, unto Abel and to his offering. Unto Cain and his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was angry, wroth. Okay? He was angry, and his countenance fell. And God said to him, why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance falling? If thou doest well, shall you not be accepted? That is, he knew what to do. He didn't do it. Will not be accepted. And if you do not well, sin lies at your door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. So, notice that the murder of Abel was based on something. Was based on the fact that this guy did not have respect to God's word. He did not believe God's word. So sin came through Adam. Don't let's lose that. Now, it says sin came into the world. Genesis chapter 1. And God said, let us make man in our image, verse 26. After our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, over everything that creep, every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. And God created man in his own image. The image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moves upon the earth. Now, when we say over every living that moves upon the earth, that included every living thing that moves upon the earth. So, man was given dominion over the activities of the earth. Now, upon this, something now happened. Look at how Peter describes it. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 19. While they promised them liberty, 2 Peter 2, 19, please go there. They themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same he is brought into bondage. For whom a man is overcome, of the same he is brought into bondage. Romans 6:17. Sorry, 16. Know ye not to whom you yield yourselves servants, Romans 6:16, to obey, is servants are ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. So automatically you become a servant of that which overcomes you. John 8:34. Verily I say unto you, Jesus said this, whosoever commits sin is the servant of sin. Whosoever commits sin is the servant of sin. So at that point, Adam became a servant of sin. Please always forget, don't forget we're talking about sin. He became a servant of sin. Luke 4, read that from 4 to 6. Satan said to Jesus that all the world are, you know, in his capacity that he can give to whoever he will. And Jesus didn't question that because that was the truth. So from that point, the activities in the earth were dictated by Satan. John 14:30, Jesus called him the prince of this world. That word is ruler. When you see the word prince, you're talking about ruler. The ruler of this world. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3, is called the God of this world. 1 John 5:19. I'll start from 18. We know that whosoever is born of God sins not. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself. Bad translation. He himself keeps. And the wicked one. Are you there? Okay, let me take that again. Alright? He that is born of God keepeth himself. He himself keepeth. It's a better translation. And that the wicked one touches him not. So, that is, anybody that is born of God, the wicked one cannot lay hold on him. Are you following this? Now, look at 19. And we know. Let's take it together. Want to go? And we know. And the whole world. Actually, again, wickedness is bad. So, it lies in the wicked one. The whole world lies in the wicked one. Referring to the age. You all know that already. Lies in the wicked one. So there is, that is the manifestation. What separates the wicked one and the man, I mean, the righteous man is the new birth. The new birth is what now made the distinction. When you're born of God, the wicked one cannot touch. Not doesn't want to touch, cannot touch. Because you are not of the world. We are of God. The whole world lies in the wicked one. Now, we have seen how it happened. It happened by Adam's sin. By Adam's sin, he became a servant of sin. And the conspirator, the initiator of it, who is the hater of the truth, that is sin in God's plan for Adam, Satan now became the ruler by that action. So we can trace sin. That is where sin began. So when it says, by one man, sin entered into the world. Sin actually began. Hold on now. What was before man? What was before man? You don't know? The woman? The earth? And the heavens? You know the heavens and the earth were created together? You don't know? Tell me now. Okay. Now, before the heavens and the earth, what was? Nothing. God. Because the heavens and the earth are a creation of time. Time began with the heaven and the earth. Now, before man was the earth, before the earth was God. So the reason for the earth was man. Man is the reason for the earth. Angels, therefore, have always been part of the earth. Don't say, they are in heaven. What would they have been doing in heaven? Can you even think helping God get food cooked? Or what? Some say worshipping God. So fallacious. Some say running errands for God. You know, God says, who is there? Uriel, give me the charge card. I want to call Jesus. Say, where is the spirit? I don't know. Try and look for him in the other room. No. They were to minister for man. So they were created with the earth. Hallelujah. Are you there? Don't imagine that there was one choir in heaven and then Pastor Wale is like Satan and maybe other people, you know your names. You were part of the angelic choir. The angelic, all this song. We sing with angels. No, the angels should sing with you.
Praise God. The Bible says these things they desire to look into, to the intent that is made known, Ephesians 3:10, to the principalities and power, the manifold wisdom of God. They learn from you. Don't be singing with the angels. So praise God. Okay. So they had always been part of the earth, the world. When I say the earth now, I'm talking about the world, the activities of the world. They were sent forth. Why were they created? To be ministers. To minister to who? The heirs of salvation. That sorts it out. You know that God didn't create them, was not looking for job. Ah, these guys are hefty. What can they do for me? So when God cannot lift his right leg, say, Michael! The reason, before God made angels, what was in his mind? Man. Are you following this? Good. So, definitely, Satan's sin was against man. The plan of God in the earth. So don't look at Satan wanting to be like the Most High. When he said he wanted to sit in the middle of the congregation, he was referring to the fact that he wanted to be like man. You can't be higher than high. Now, the highest? What's there's no height above God. How can you try to fight God with the strength of an angel? How do you want to be? He can't come to his thoughts. Nobody can tempt him with it, even himself. Doesn't make sense. Okay? So they were created for man. Now, so we have seen. Now, let's stop at this point. Are we all on the same page to believe that Genesis is the genesis of sin? Or is there a book you have that can help you out? Eh? Who has another book here that we can refer to? None. Thank you. If you have anyone, we say that he has deceived you too. But the whole world lies in wickedness. So, that means that sin began in Genesis. Sin has to begin with man. With the activities of man. Is that very clear? Good. You know, we are not defining sin. We are just looking at the history of sin. When you ask the question, when you say, but sir, how, at what point, you know, people ask questions, at what point did Satan, now, at least before he said it to man, there are a lot of theologians like that, before he said it to man, there must have been something in his mind, at least, there must have been an arrangement, like a meeting. Something must have been happening. You can't just say something. You know? Okay. It both has the same thing that maybe before Adam to ate the fruit, what you would get tell it. Don't be extra biblical. Do you understand? You see, your brains are, so touch your head. Say you are too small to know God. Amen. That's all. You see, leave your brain alone. Let your brain. There's somebody was saying, but sir, why is there God the Father? How is it God the Son, God the Holy Spirit? Why are you a human being? I think that is what God is. Do you understand? It's not a subject of trying to explain. What is God? Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. That's God. Do you know your problem? You didn't know that. If you grew up and you say, what is God? I say, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You know I asked that question. It's because you grew up thinking God is one tree. You understand? One person. No. God is three distinct personalities in one. That's what God is. That is what God is. It's not. You don't say what this is existence. You don't say what is existence. How does existence exist? You get my point? So when you come here and say, where did sin begin? Sin began with man. That's all. Praise God. Beautiful. Now, let's now define sin. We have seen where it began. So we will not have much problems now. Some of you agree with me. Who have much problems? You know? If you go to the law to know sin, what you will find in the law is spiritual death. Sin will be hidden. Because that's, sin gets, what do you call it, swagger. It will hide behind death. So you must be careful to come to the word. Now, see, where does it go? Okay. Psalm 51. You know, after David, Bathsheba moves. You know, he just came to God. And then, he described man. I love David. What about you? Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, verse 1, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me through from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before thee. Against thee only, have I sinned, and I have done this evil in thy sight. That thou mayest be justified when you speak, and be clear when you judge. Now, look at what David said. Very, very clear supplication. Behold, I was shaping iniquity. Are you following this? And in sin did my mother conceive. Behold, I was shaping in iniquity. We have three major words from the Old Testament, and we'll see in the New Testament too, the epistles, that explain sin. And you see the progression. The word iniquity there, notice this. I was shaping with it for my mother's womb. So here it begins to develop, talk about a condition. What do you call this in there? We call it congenital. Doctor, congenital hair. That is, came from birth. So sin is a congenital problem. Amen. Don't say thank God. I'm going to hell if you think like that. I was shaping. The word is I was born. I was brought forth in iniquity. I was brought forth in iniquity. You know, some people thought that I was referring to sex. That's awful. The Bible says God talked about sex before man sinned. He shall become one flesh. That was before man sinned, so it's not sex. He says, in iniquity I was born. So he refers to a condition. Okay? Now, that word, iniquity, is very key. In the Hebrew, it means bent to yourself. It means something that is bent. It actually implies crooked. Bent. Now, so, he's saying that I was born in a bent condition. There was no better way to receive forgiveness in the Old Testament for this supplication. Well, you can't come now. Let me just say, now that you are born again, and say, iniquity was I conceived. Just that you have a seat in hell. Praise God. hell must be sure. There's no creative. Now, it's a condition. In sin did my mother conceive me. So it's a condition. Being bent, here is a condition. Now we look back at Adam as a seed. I'll call it a condition. The Bible says in Genesis 1:11 that every seed will bring forth fruit after its kind. So Adam will bring forth after his kind. Let me say this. Adam's first choice was death. Okay? So Adam will be seen by us as a seed. The Bible calls him the first man. So he was first. He was a progenitor. Beyond just being God's creation, it was also the beginning of things. Now, when David said that, I was shapen in iniquity, David in 1 Samuel 16:12 was called a fine boy. So it had nothing to do with his physical appearance. It referred to a spiritual condition. So sin is first of all seen as a spiritual state. Or better still, as a state. Sin is firstly a state. Romans 3. Are you there now? Are we better than they, those who have the law? No, you know why. For we have before, previously, proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it's written, there is none righteous. Are you following this? There is none that seeks after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Romans 3:9-12. Romans 7:14. For we know that the law is spiritual. I am carnal. That word is fleshly. Sold under sin. Sold under sin. So, it is a state of being. That's the first thing you will see. It's a state of being. It's a condition. Maybe later I'll talk about this. But if you look at that Romans 6:23, people don't understand what the writer was saying. He says, for all have sinned and have come short. He explains sin in two ways. All have sinned and have come short. Coming short now means to miss the mark. That's another explanation of sin, to miss the mark. But for all have sinned. He first of all points to a condition, then actions. For all have sinned. There is firstly a condition and have come short of the glory of God. So he says, there is none. Now look at verse 19. But we know that what things ever the law saith, Romans 3, saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. So sin is a spiritual condition. First and foremost. Or better say, like I said, is a condition that is spiritual. Now go to Isaiah 53. But verse 5, he was wounded for our transgression. You know this talk about Jesus, messianic. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we were healed. We are healed. Hallelujah. Now, look at 6. Take note of words. Don't miss out words. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. Now stop. Look up. When do sheep go astray? Beautiful. Note that. when there is no shepherd. So sheep already implies there should be a shepherd. Sheep go astray from the shepherd. When you see a sheep has gone astray, you are referring to the fact that it has gone astray from the shepherd. So it says, all we, humanity, like sheep, have gone astray. Now, Matthew 9:36, Jesus looked at the multitude of people and he said, they are like sheep without shepherd. They are like sheep without shepherd. They are men, as we're going to see, without salvation. Hebrews 13. Verse 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. How is he the great shepherd of the sheep? By his blood. Without his blood, he cannot be the shepherd of the sheep. So, how did the sheep return to him? By his blood. By the remission of sin. Are you getting this? That's why it's called the great shepherd of the sheep. The sheep is man. Look at Isaiah 53 again. So all we like sheep already presupposes a shepherd. That was why when Peter was going to quote this in 1 Peter 2:25, he said we have returned to the shepherd. There was no shepherd here spoken, but by revelation Peter knew that when he said we have gone astray, we have gone astray from the shepherd of the sheep. Are you getting this? Okay. How will our sheep have gone astray? We have turned every man to his own way. You have seen the word bent. Have you seen it? Bent to self. Turned every man to his own way. All we like sheep have gone astray. Turned every man to his own way. So every man as sheep should be in the way of the shepherd. But we have turned every man to his own way. Now, this is it. Let's finish it together. Are you there? I'll wait for you. Are you there? Let's go. And the Lord had laid on. Let's say that again. The Lord had done what? Now, what is the iniquity of us all? What is the condition of all of us? We have gone astray. Okay? Or we had. Thank God. And turned to his own way. So God laid that iniquity. The word lay is an Hebrew word that means to do it forcefully. To impose on someone. Something that naturally doesn't belong to him. God had laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now, look up. Don't write now. That means, look up, this person will go astray. Right? He will what? Go astray. Notice what God didn't lay on him. God didn't lay on him the penalty of the iniquity. People think that Jesus bore the punishment for sin. He became sin. That condition was imposed on him. Do you follow this? He didn't lay on him the punishment of the iniquity. He had told you that earlier. He was bruised for iniquity. The child of a priest was laid upon. He had explained that one. He said, now, all we like sheep are going to, it now goes to our spiritual condition. That spiritual condition itself was now laid on him. Until you comprehend that, you will never know what sin is. So he laid that condition on you. Now, in Matthew 5, verse 20 to 22, glory to his name. Are you learning something? Matthew 5. You have heard that it was said by them of the old time that Deuteronomy chapter 25 by 17, Exodus 20, 13. That's what I have in my reference. Okay? It says, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in the danger of judgment. But I say unto you, whosoever is angry with his brother, is explaining it. You see, people think, wait, he said, whoever is angry with his brother, without a cause, shall be in the danger of the judgment. Whosoever shall say to his brother, Raka, shall be in the danger of the council. Whosoever shall say that fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. So he's saying that, look, that it doesn't come from the law addresses the action. Jesus is saying that, look, if you are angry, the murder starts with what? Anger. There is a spiritual condition responsible for this. Look at 27. Thou shalt not commit adultery. That is what the law says. But I say unto you, whosoever looks on a woman to lust after her has already committed adultery with her already in her. Now people think that what John is saying here is that, just a temptation is a sin. Jesus is coming to the condition of man. That it is not, the law addresses those actions. Because sin has been covered with spiritual death. Jesus doesn't look. There's a nature where a man concludes what he's going to do because of that nature. Are you following this? Now, so there is a nature. So he says in verse 29, your right eye offend you, pluck it out, cast it from you. If it's profitable for you, or one of your members should perish, and one should, I've talked this in soul and body. We're referring to what? Thoughts. Right? Right? So, you can see that man's problem, the thing about sin, is that it is a spiritual condition. There is a condition in man. There is a condition of man. For glory to God, it has been laid on Jesus. For he made him sin. Is that clear to you now? Who knew no sin? Backtrack to Socrates. I mentioned when Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now, God asked Adam, where are you? So there was a separation. Okay, he was astray. Are you with me? Jesus, in this instance, because it was sacrificial, God moved from him. In Adam, man moved. Okay? In Jesus, God moved. Because God was saving us in Jesus. Now, when Jesus said that, he was in that spiritual condition. He had become what? For us. He laid on him the iniquity of us all. So there is a condition before the action. The actions. That condition has been borne by Jesus. That was talks about agape, 1 Corinthians 13 and 5. It does not seek its own. That is, it is not a selfish venture. We'll see more of that later. In Matthew 7, It does not seek its own. It does not satisfy itself. If you look at the intent of Satan's suggestion to Eve, and definitely to Adam, it suggested independence. It suggested self. All things were created for God. It suggested God. Now, look at Matthew 7 and 22. Verse 21. Not everyone that said unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Of course, many never bother to find out what is the will of his Father. The will of God is to obey Jesus. That's what the will of God is. To believe in Jesus. Verse 22. Many will say to me in that day. Do you know that there are so many ways you can look at this particular encounter. In that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have we cast out devils? In thy name done many wonderful works. Did you observe? Look up. They never mention salvation. Look at what he said to them. Depart from me, you that walk what? Self. By grace are you saved. You and I, the only boasting we have is in the blood of Jesus. A man cannot be saved boasting on works. He cannot be. Salvation is by grace alone. Alone. Galatians 6. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. Now, verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory. Okay? Let's take it together. But God forbid that I should glory. By whom the word comes to me. So what is your glory? In the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 15 together, everybody. Neither circumcision, I've led anything, nor circumcision, but a new creation. 16. As many as walk according to this rule and upon the Israel of God. See that? So that's the only rule. The cross of Christ. If I should glory, hallelujah, let me glory in the cross. There is nothing, you know, I was talking about preachers, and I said this yesterday, I think it was this morning. I talked to a preacher, I said, look, that somebody was surprised that I went to the house of a church member, and I said, hey, you mean, the friend of mine, I said, why? He said, just was in their own place, so when the pastor is coming, they had a plan for months, and all that, why would that happen? You slept in a member's house, you mean, you. I was wondering what Jesus they were reading in the Bible. You know, and I said to him, I said, well, truth of the matter is that kind of person has a larger than life image. Already in church, they see him beyond the new creation. Is there any more glory beyond the fact that through the cross of Christ, we're a new creature? Nothing to boast. For we are the workmanship of our works and things we have done. We are the workmanship of God. We'll see all that later. Created in Christ Jesus. Nothing of yourself. So it's just a larger than life image. I said, okay, what does he have more than they do? Knowledge of the Bible and what? Gifts of the Spirit. Say, which of them is his own? None. Praise God. So the problem in Matthew 7 was grace versus works. Praise God. That's with grace alone. I like what John Wayne has sang the song. When it's all said and done, that you will be left only to the will of mercy. Let me tell you, those that don't believe in the mercy of God, in Christ Jesus. He's on the deathbed. They will believe it is true. Because you're about to leave. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know where you're going to. You just have to say, Lord.
I know there's something after this. By your grace. By your mercy.
Because there's nothing else to depend on. Nothing. So it's by grace alone. Hallelujah. If you go bragging and saying, you know,
you know, somebody was saying that if he should go to heaven and God should go to hell, I mean, in his mind, he said, he will stand with God and argue and say, look, the Bible said, you know, the way we say, we thought the man knew Bible. He's not knowing Bible.
Nothing save the cross of Jesus. All we like sheep have gone astray. Even the Isaiah that was told by Israel, you have seen God.
You know, when the people of God got the hold of his soul, all we like sheep. So if you read Isaiah's condemnation, read it with Jesus, and see all they said about those folks.
Eh?
All the, and the Lord will do this to you, he will do it to who?
Jesus is the one that was eventually punished. No man can bear the punishment for sin. Only Christ did. Give it away. Amen. Anyway. So, look at Paul's answer to Peter. He said, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Christ lives in me. I love the translator. He said, yet not I. I mean, not in the originals, but I think that's a lovely rendering. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life I live now, I live by the faith of the Son of God. He said, we will not frustrate the grace of God. Because some folks actually frustrate the grace of God. Some preachings frustrate the grace of God. When a man can tell you that, if you don't do this, you don't do this, you will not be accepted by God. Look, it's very clear in God's word. The only acceptance is in Jesus. So when we look at sin, we must look at sin as that condition, that spiritual condition of Jesus. You know the Bible says that. Look at John 16.
Notice this. Verse 7. Nevertheless, I will tell you the truth. It's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. For if I depart, I will send him unto you. Verse 8. When he is come, he will do what? And of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not in me. Of course, people have said that the only sin a man can go to is God, don't believe in Jesus. Notice this. Of sin. Verse 10. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world, ruler of this world, is judged. Jesus was actually talking about himself. Sin was placed on him. Righteousness, him. The judgment of Satan, him. So when I say that the Holy Ghost will convince you of sin, he will point you to the sacrifice of Jesus. But he made him to be sin. No, he made him sin. Would you know sin? Jesus is that condition to us today. Hallelujah. Praise God. God requires nothing of any man. Isaiah 64. Men understand the concept of sin. They won't have an issue with salvation. It won't be a problem. This is Isaiah. After hacking men, after saying that their clothes are filthy, after talking about their earrings and all that. Verse 6. But we are all as an unclean thing. And all our righteousness as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf. And our iniquities like wind have taken us away. That 64 verse 6. All our righteousness, it says, is like filthy rags. That word there in the Hebrew is menstrual cloth. Which
under the Old Testament should not move near. That is defiled blood. That is, the best of your conduct is filthy. Thank God for Jesus. Hallelujah. So we thank God for Jesus. Romans 3. There is nothing good that can come out of that condition. Nothing. Nothing good can come out of that condition. Nothing. Romans 3. Verse 11. 10, sorry. There is none righteous. No, not one. Based on that, he now begins to tell you the different conduct and all that, whose mouth are full of cursing and bitterness, feet are sweet to shed blood, verse 15 and all that. And he says, now we know that there's things forever the law saith, he said to them that are under the law, that every mouth will be stopped, and all the world will become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, shall no flesh be justified inside, for by the law, the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all that believe, for there is no difference. Verse 23, for all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. Now, where did all sin? Romans 5, all sinned in Adam. And based on that, came short of the glory of God. We're going to look at that, the second definition of sin, amataya, which is to miss the mark. Where you miss the mark. And missing the mark is based on a spiritual condition. But thank God for verse 24. Being justified fully by His grace, through the redemption, glory to God, that is in Christ Jesus. For God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. This is Christianity. Amen. Christianity is to see Jesus as the sin of humanity. To look back and look at what Jesus did as the spiritual condition that we have all today been delivered from. Today, the Bible says God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself and not bringing anybody's guilt. Why did He do that? Why is He not saying, because you lied, I'll punish you in that context? Because we'll see that later. There was a spiritual condition. Verse 21. He made Him sin. Who knew no sin? That we, what knew no sin is to experience. He had no experience with it. That we should be made the righteousness of God in Him. Let's thank God for Jesus.